This is Dan Myler, host of the longest-running Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast in the industry, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Join me and my co-hosts, Ryan McDowell and Matt Price from DynastyLeagueFootball.com, as we use 60-plus years of Dynasty experience to analyze news, walk through startup and team-building strategies, and highlight trade targets to keep you on top of your Dynasty League year-round. It's a different topic each week on the DLF Dynasty Podcast, but the common theme is always the same, helping you build the ultimate Dynasty roster. Join me, Dan Myler, along with Ryan McDowell and Matt Price, each week, year-round, for the DLF Dynasty Podcast.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm laying. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Superflex Dude, and I have a trading problem, and Peter Howard should really be taking notes on how to guest on this freaking show. This is how you start the show, Peter Howard.
Superflex Dude! Superflex Dude.
Would it be a show with Peter Howard if it started off the right way?
Normally. Oh, hey, yeah.
I had multiple people like, yes, I am 3 minutes in the show and I've been laughing the whole time already. I'm like, that just happens when Peter's around. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I think he does it on purpose.
He's wonderful. That's all that matters, whether it's on purpose or it's just his own charming personality. No one knows. Yeah. But hey, everybody, and welcome to session 236 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. I mean, we are usually pretty pro no trade deadline on this show. Of course, we're talking fantasy football leagues. We love no trade deadlines. But today, in NFL, in actual football, yes. Today was the trade deadline, and man, was there some trades. Like, usually there's one or two, and, you know, like every year, oh, Brandon Cooks is going to be on the move. Brandon Cooks isn't on the move. Yeah. Uh-oh, Brandon Cooks wasn't at practice today. He's definitely on the move. Brandon Cooks isn't on the move. But there were so many people that were. Calm, breathe. Don't get too excited. Screw that. I'm excited. But still, hey, John, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do before we just go nuts about the trades that went today?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was all ramped up to talk about these. But yeah, John Hoke, Superflex Dude on Twitter, host of the Superflex Super Show, ranker and occasional writer at DLF. And I also run the ADP mock drafts for Superflex, Dynasty Superflex for DynastyLeagueFootball.com. And I'm starting those this week, so jump in, please.
Yes, this will probably be out Wednesday night because I am lazy and don't feel like doing it during the day. So check Twitter, check John at Superflex Dude on Twitter. He always tweets out that he's looking for people. So go join, have some fun, and shape the value of Dynasty football players by joining these mocks. That's what they do. Yeah. These mocks go into ADP. They go into the trade analyzer. They go into the lifeblood of information about Dynasty fantasy football players. You can be part of that. You can.
And it's vitally important right now because I don't know about you guys, but I don't have a freaking clue how to value
anything.
Anyone other than, like, you know, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp. That's kind of
Ja'Marr Chase is still up there. Calm down.
Yeah.
He got hurt, but he's still up there. Actually, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Well, at this point, it's probably going to be in a little while. You know, we have a lot of NFL trades to get to before we get to the trade addicts trades. So let's just go. All right. I'm going to read all of them that I have written down, and then we will go and talk through whichever ones we feel like talking about. Kadarius Toney got traded to the Chiefs. TJ Hockenson got traded in division to the Vikings.
That was so weird.
Did not see that coming. Chase Claypool to the Bears. I was weirdly happy to see him moved. A, yay Justin Fields. B, yay George Pickens, but we'll get to that. Okay. When I woke up this morning, never did it enter my mind. We're going to hear some Calvin Ridley news today. First of all, go Falcons for getting a 24-second for Calvin Ridley, who when he comes back, I believe will be 28 and not having played in almost 2 years. Now, don't get me wrong. This isn't like Michael Thomas where he's been hurt this whole time. So he's healthy. I'm sure he's ready to go, but still good for – yeah. And plus, yeah, Calvin Ridley being next to Christian Kirk and getting all them Trevor Lawrence targets. Let's go. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Watch me dance right now. I'm dancing. All right. Also, Nyheim Hines to the Bills. Well, I guess I'll skip down. And Zach Moss to the Colts. Jeff Wilson to the Dolphins and Chase Edmonds to the Broncos. It's so funny that those were like dominoes connecting things. Okay, I want to start at the very top. This happened before today also, but I still want to mention it. Kadarius Toney went to the Chiefs. Now, I have to believe, Rocky, that after the past few weeks, your dislike of Juju Smith-Schuster has to have diminished a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I don't dislike him as much as you think I do, Russ.
Like, I know. It's really just fun to feed into it.
Yes.
Are we worried that they brought in another wide receiver? Are we worried that they brought in a wide receiver that, while they're nothing alike, it's just another wide receiver that maybe a gadget play takes away from an intermediate pass from Smith-Schuster? Like, does this affect your idea of Juju going forward? Well, I guess just for this year because he's only on a one-year deal.
It doesn't for me. I view Toney as just one of those, that group of guys that you were saying that are going to occasionally pop up, like Mecole Hardman having his 3-touchdown game a couple weeks ago or something like that. Maybe Toney does that here and there. I still think of the wide receivers, Juju's going to be the closest thing to a consistent guy. And even he's not. He started off really poorly and then kind of boomed a little bit here the last couple of games. I still don't think it takes that much away from him, though. I think Toney, first of all, has to stay on the field. He's barely been able to do that for a year and a half. And then I just think he's going to be mixed in there. Kelsey's obviously going to get his over Kadarius Toney. I still think Juju's going to be the most targeted wide receiver of the group. And then, you know, it's Toney, it's Mecole, it's maybe Sky Moore eventually. But I don't think anybody's – even Juju, I don't think he's going to sustain what he's done the last couple of weeks. But I think he's going to be the guy that gets the most targets. And the others, are you just – you're praying because they're in the KC offense with Patrick Mahomes that you get a boom flex week out of them or something like that.
All right. So let's say you have a strong contender and you want to add some good wide receiver depth to your team. I think – for almost most players, we just don't bother asking about 23 first seed anymore because they're just way too out of control. Would you, John, give a 24 first for Juju right now?
I would not. I just don't trust the role enough. I mean, I agree with Rocky that he's going to be the most consistent out of that wide receiver group, but that's just it's the same as saying Isaiah Pacheco is a starting running back. It's like,
technically,
yeah. It's like, it just doesn't really mean much, you know? So yeah, I, 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 The other thing about it is just the nature of the wide receiver position. There's just arbitrage all over the place. There aren't very many guys that I would give a 2023 first for, and then, you know, the universe expands a little bit for 2024, but still not by a lot. There's just cheaper ways to find that production.
Yeah, I'm thinking so here's the thing. Like, if I have Juju on a team that isn't necessarily competing, I'm not in a rush to get rid of him because he's still like 18 years old. But I like a 23 and a 24 second, I feel like that's not a scoffed at offer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he gets it done, but at least I think that's a good starting point. Because, I think 2 23 seconds, if one of them seems early, probably will get it done. But like 23 second, 24 second, like, does that feel okay to you, Rocky?
For Juju?
Yeah.
Sorry, I got distracted. My son was giving me World Series updates. Philly's up 7-0, by the way.
The World Series. I don't know what that...
Juju, 23, 24 seconds. Yeah, that seems fine to me. I'd give 2 seconds for Juju. I'm not giving more than that. I agree with Johnny. I don't want to give even a 24 first for him. But yeah, that seems fine. 2 seconds is worth it. I think he's going to have more of these. Like I said, he said, I think 200 yard and a touchdown games in a row going into the bye. Again, that's not sustainable, but he's going to get his more than any of those other guys.
Do you guys feel like a 2023 third and a 2024 second? Does that get Juju? Cause that's kind of what I'd be comfortable paying.
No, I don't think I would give away Juju for a second and a third. I don't care what year they're in.
Yeah.
I that still seems kind of light to me because
I think especially coming off his two best games of the season too, you can argue he needed time to work with Mahomes, yada, yada, yada. So,
I mean, not to say that I think he's going to put up 20 something points every single week, but yes, that is a new offense for everyone out there because again, you don't replace Tyreek Hill. That's not how this works. And if you're one of those people who's like Kadarius Toney, starting out as a gadget player, so just like Tyreek did, don't even pump those brakes. Just slam that bad boy right to the ground. Like, no, no, no. Hmm.
Would you give him up for those 2 seconds for us as a Juju truther?
On the right team for the right 2 seconds, yeah, I think I would. Just because I don't okay, he's 25. Let's say he finishes this season as a top 20 wide receiver. Like, I'm not even like shooting for the stars here. If he finishes top 20 and consistent top 20, not like 80 points 1 week and 6 points the rest, like if he can stick between 22 to 14 points per game for the rest of the season, I think his value will go up. And I think he will reach a late first in 24 as a value. But if I want my picks now, I'll take 2 23 seconds instead of a late first next year. I think I would do it. I don't know if I'd feel great about it, but me being me and me having a bunch of Juju shares, I would probably just be like, what the hell? Again, yeah, but meh. All right. So Rocky and I have been very big TJ Hockenson people at least I had pretty much given up, and I know you have at least turned it down, if not completely given up as well.
It was huge before last season. Not as much now.
We were both ready for it before last season, and it did not happen. Nope. So now he moves to the Vikings, where Irv Smith was seeing some action. Like, he was starting to get worked back in after his 16th injury in the past 47 weeks. That was a random time frame I just gave. All right, but that threw me off. Like, again, when you don't pay for a player, especially at this point, and not use them. Like, I'm not at all worried about Justin Jefferson. That's not where I'm taking this. But is Hockenson now the number two? Because I know Thielen did something to himself, but I don't know how serious he got hurt. But, like, is Hockenson the number two there now? Like, is that, like, are we worried about Thielen? And if Thielen were hurt, I mean, are we just, KJ Osborne won't be a thing to replace him like he was late last year also? Like, I don't know. Someone talk and tell me how they feel about TJ Hockenson on the Vikings, because I'm trying not to let my hopes go up, I think is what it is.
I mean, I think it's an upgrade. I think there's less significant options around him. You know, you had Swift, I'm blanking, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's back now, and you're going to have Jameson Williams coming in, and now you have a fading Adam Thielen. You know, besides Justin Jefferson, obviously, you have a fading Adam Thielen, and KJ Osborne is a nice little player, but isn't, you know, commanding crap loads of targets. So I think it does make him the number two, essentially. It's not like Thielen was rock solid here, even before getting banged up, and depending on a 32-year-old to stay healthy, is probably not a great bet anyway. So yeah, I think it's a slight upgrade. I think it's a better offense. Like, Cousins is a better quarterback than Goff. And I think he'll get a little bit, a slight bump in targets. I mean, I don't expect him to like move in like the way we were before last season. Like, oh, he's going to move into Mark Andrews type range, which is what we were all hoping. But I definitely think it's no worse than a lateral move. And I think it keeps him kind of entrenched in that top five, but not sort of elite tier.
Irv Smith onto IR with an ankle sprain.
Yep.
Yep. Which, I mean, a 4-week injury, typically that high ankle sprain. So
8 like to 10. This,
really?
That's what MFL is saying. But the past few weeks, 6, 4, 5, 4, 4 were his target numbers.
Yeah.
I think Hockenson has to be better than that, right?
Yeah, for sure. Okay,
so here we go. This is the question. You know, let's do it. Late, Rocky, first of all, your 23 first got moved again in TA1, which is, spoiler alert, is the sleeper trade of the week this week. And I've decided every single time that pick does get traded, but until the draft, it will be the sleeper trade of the week. Would you... Let's pretend this pick got moved back to you. Would you trade your 112 for TJ Hockenson right now?
I think I have TJ Hockenson in that league, but
that's not the point.
So it's probably the 111 or 112. Would I move that for TJ Hockenson?
Don't start this humble crap now. We've gone too far with this. It is the 112.
Well, DeJohn's got a pretty good team. DeJohn in TA1 has a pretty good team. But anyway, that's tough. I think I would. I feel like I shouldn't have to, but I'm not sure. Now. Yeah. After the trade, I think he gets a bump. And I think a lot of people who have him might kind of be like me and you and are Hockenson believers. So it might be tough to get him for anything less than that. I'd probably try and get him for 24 first. But a league like that where I feel pretty confident that's no – being humble, that's no worse than the 109 or 110 and maybe higher, maybe lower, then I think I would, especially in a trade addicts league where it's 1.75, because I do think he's going to get a nice amount of targets from a good quarterback.
So what you are telling me, most importantly, is you will not trade TJ Hockenson for Kenyon Drake and Deonta Foreman.
No, not at all. That's the offer that Russ sent to me earlier today. I'm like, Russ, what do you think? Do you think this is a downgrade for Hockenson? What are you sending me here?
I don't even know. I just thought it was funny. Like, at this point, I send Rocky bad offers as a joke just to see how he's doing. And then, of course, he replies to me, I wish I could say I was surprised by your bullshit. But he's not at all. All right. How do you feel, John, about TJ Hockenson in Minnesota? Do you think it bumps him up to being? All right. I'm not even going to bother saying one of those top tier tight ends because we have two and one of them isn't even doing it right now. But hey, Pitt scored another touchdown. So but do you put him now in that, like, at least that second tier of like, okay, I think this guy will at least be very good every week?
Nah, I'm not even there. Standards.
I want to just
put
a little bit more specificity on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even there with him. I mean, it's a pretty small tier. But yeah, it's pretty exclusive to me, even for those for both of the top two tiers at tight end, and he just doesn't get there for me. Like, I mean, I think it's probably kind of like a, like if you want to call him the second target for Kirk Cousins, I think it's like a 2A kind of at best. Like, there's still going to be those weeks where it's KJ Osborne. There's still going to be weeks where Thielen gets involved. It's, you know, there are going to be weeks where they're, you know, they're throwing to the running backs more. Like, I don't know that TJ Hockenson is ever going to be the type of player who commands enough targets to be that consistent. And it kind of doesn't matter what the offense is, because he's been in this type of offense before, you know, and he still, it was still pretty spotty. So I think he just kind of settles in as one of those guys that, you know, kind of a streamer plus type of guy.
Yeah. I am at the point where I am going to be cautiously optimistic, like I've been saying this entire time, where I want it to be a thing, but I am not ready whatsoever to actually believe that it will be.
Yeah.
Because, like, name, Kyle Rudolph caught a lot of touchdowns, you know, 2 years ago-ish, 2-3 years ago. I can't even remember anymore. Time is an illusion. It's just a social construct. It doesn't really mean anything. Whenever that was, he caught a lot of touchdowns. Irv Smith has been getting the 4 or 5 targets that Hawk has been getting on his team. Mm-hmm. And while we do think that is going to increase, especially with, you know, Irv being gone, and if Thielen does miss time, like, I do think he will be good. Ever since coming into this league, Hawk, his fantasy value has never really caught up to his dynasty value.
Yeah.
And I feel like it just had. But there are even still some people who are like, well, it's TJ Hockenson. You know, he came into the league and he was going to be the next big thing. So I don't care that that was 4 years ago. It's just the way it is. Like, no, it finally, like, evened out, and now I think it didn't even out for very long. I think his dynasty value is going to get a little too high, and I don't really want to pay that. Clearly, I want to pay Kenyon Drake and Deonta Foreman for TJ Hockenson. Man, I could not think of his first name, and it's just 2 letters. Whew. All right, let's move on. Chase Claypool to the Bears. I love this because I mean, I already said this before, but, like, I've always been a fan of Justin Fields, the player. And I love that while he will still have to throw the ball in, like, a second and a half after getting it, because that offensive line is so bad. And not to call Chase Claypool great or anything, but it's better than Velus Jones being the only player they brought in. Like, I'm glad it's something, because he's looked pretty good. You know, the past 3 games, he's had over 20 attempts. At least I think that's what it is. 3 out of the last 4, something like that. He's broken 20 attempts. He's hitting around that 200-yard mark. I mean, let's face it. This year wasn't meant to be good for that offense. We knew that coming in based on the fact that they did nothing to improve the offense. Like, so, yeah, like, here, they might be willing to do something for that offense. And while, again, I don't think this year is going to be anything great, I like that they're starting to do something, because if he's getting better, if they're opening up the offense a bit, I'm glad they gave him someone. I still have faith in Darnell Mooney not being bad. I don't even need him to be very good anymore. But, like, he's had most of the past few games, he's had, like, maybe 4 catches for over 50 yards, which, again, not bad. And I'll take that. So I love this. I love this. I have no interest in acquiring Chase Claypool in Dynasty. I kind of want to acquire Justin Fields because of this even more than I already have been. So, like, that's something I might be doing. But, I mean, whoever feels like, you know what, John, you're the guest. I should let you go first, I guess. How does this make you feel about any, well, no, let's stick with the Bears first.
The Bears. Yeah.
Bears. Let's stick with them. How does this make you feel about any of them?
Yeah, like you said, I think that the big winner is Justin Fields, just, you know, by virtue of doing anything to freaking help this kid. finally. and I mean, like, he kind of had to show out with nothing in order for them to finally make a move. But, you know, the fact that his arrow was already pointing up, and now you get him, not only do you get him another weapon, but, like, now you get kind of that, the big body, you know, red zone threat that you were supposed to have with Cole Kmet, but kind of didn't. You know, it just kind of adds a dimension to that offense. You know, the downfield stuff, the contested catches, like you get all that as well. But the big thing they were really kind of missing is what happens when you get down around, you know, get into the red zone, get down around the goal line. And just having that target, I think, is going to make a pretty big difference. So, yeah, I like it for everyone involved.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you too. And again, I'm not that interested in Claypool himself, but the Justin Fields, I was just looking. The first week he got 20 attempts, and he's gotten every week since then was week 4. Just clearing that low bar of 20 attempts, he's the QB6 since week 4, when averaging over 20 attempts instead of getting like 11 and 15 and things like that. So I just... And that's what, like we said, with nothing to throw to. Claypool's better than nothing. So even if I'm not a Claypool fan. So, it gives you hope, too, that going forward that he's going to be the guy and that they will build around them even more. So that's the big takeaway for me is Fields. And then, obviously, there's the Pittsburgh end where we now have Pickens as basically the two there with Deontay, of course, as the one. So...
Before you keep going, let's pretend you were going to, man, before the trade, when he was on Pittsburgh, would you have sent a second for Chase Claypool, 23 second?
No.
Now that he's on the Bears, would you send a second for Chase Claypool?
No.
Nope.
Put it out there.
Maybe if it's tracking late, I'd probably consider that.
I'd probably send a late second for almost anything at this point if I think it's going to get me points. So does that mean you would sell him for pretty much any second?
Mm-hmm. I would, yes. Yep. I don't have any Claypool, but I would.
Yeah, yes. All right. So, okay. Now, Rocky, keep going. Go on to Pittsburgh. How you think this affects things over there?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously mainly good for Pickens. He should get more playing time, bigger target share. I mean, I don't love anybody for this year, including Deontay. I was nervous about Deontay coming into the season, and that's kind of borne out with Trubisky and Pickett not being very good, the offensive line not being very good. So I don't think it really means much for 2022, other than maybe we get to see a little more splash plays from Pickens here and there. But I don't think either guy is going to be a consistent option. As much as I love Deontay, I'm really hoping that next year we get to see him back to form with hopefully either improvement from Pickett, improvement from the line, or both. I don't think, obviously, Deontay's any worse, but it's just, I got to see that team up close, and they're just not very good. So, when they played the Eagles this past week. So, I obviously, Pickens is a beneficiary. I wouldn't be buying Pickens off this, though, because everyone's going to say he's, getting a bump out of this. So, I'd wait for him to only still have probably, 100 yards over the next 3 games or 4 games, and then maybe try and buy him then, because I do think it's going to look brighter next year. But for this year only, I don't think it matters much on the Pittsburgh end at all. Just it's nice that Pickens will get more playing time.
24 first for Pickens?
I would do that, yes.
John?
Yep, yeah. Any 20.
Yeah,
I think I would too. Yeah, I would. Okay, cool. John, do you have anything to add Pittsburgh style to the rest of that?
I think for Dynasty, this helps Najee Harris. I know that's kind of it's pretty galaxy brain to come up with a reason to be optimistic about Najee Harris right now, but I'm that's what I'm here for. So let's do it.
Who was your running back one before the season?
Taylor.
No.
Oh, Saquon. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It happens. I mean, I think that you're going to get a bounce back from Najee. I mean, a big part of this limiting his workload, splitting it with Jaylen Warren, something that Mike Tomlin has never done before. It really kind of comes down to the fact that this team is going nowhere. Why are you going to put mileage on a running back, on your first round running back, on a team that's not even going to come within sniffing distance of the playoffs? Like, save him for when you fix the rest of this roster and then unleash him. But part of what they were doing with Claypool was running him out of the backfield. And we know that Najee Harris, the big thing that he needs is volume. So it's, again, kind of galaxy brain, but you know, you are getting, at least in theory, some more, you know, touches out of the backfield for Najee Harris.
I will accept that purely because I don't remember the last time I heard something positive said about Najee Harris. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to roll with it.
Nice.
All right. Calvin Ridley got traded. I mean, like, the reason I think I like this is because I think it's good for the team, because I had it in my head they were drafting a round one wide receiver next year. And they kind of don't have to now. Not to say that Calvin Ridley can walk in and be the stud of studs that he was before he went out. But between Ridley, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and Engram's not terrible right now. Plus ETN catching out of the backfield. I don't think it's an urgent need at this point. So I kind of like that idea because I still believe in Trevor Lawrence. I love how ETN is playing right now. And I love me some Calvin Ridley, so I'm here for it. I don't think this changes anything for Calvin Ridley price-wise, though who the heck knows what that was anyway. But, and honestly, this doesn't change anything for Christian Kirk for me either, because if you were thinking long-term he was going to be the number one guy there, I mean, that's just, I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard anyone really say that, so that shouldn't really affect anything anyway. Does this do anything for anyone in any way, shape, or form for either of these teams?
No.
Take no on
that one. Yeah. That was a wonderful silence.
I think you pretty much covered it, Russ. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the Bills finally go out and get the receiving back they've been trying to get since J.D. McKissick just cold shouldered them real bad. And they trade for Nyheim Hines. I didn't see that. Was it? It had to have been the same deal where Zach Moss went to the Colts, right?
Yep. Yeah, it was. It was, I think, Moss and a late pick for Hines or something like that.
Yeah, just making, because, you know, I had a lot of annoying work calls towards the end of the workday. And then I was just like, all right, let me just find a list of everything that happened. So it didn't actually list what the trades were, just listed the player movements. So Nyheim Hines goes to the Bills. You know, as our buddy Zach Reed always says, the running back one on that team has number 17 on his jersey, so it doesn't really matter who the running backs are. But Devin Singletary's been doing pretty well, and no one else really has. I'm curious if you guys, what you think of Nyheim Hines going to the Bills. Like, I honestly don't even know what to think of this, because it was just fun keeping him as the receiving back in Indianapolis, or getting our hopes crazy high whenever Jonathan Taylor went down. Like, I don't think that's the same role that's going to be happening in Buffalo. Like, I mean, John, do you have any strong feelings, good or bad, on this?
Not really. This is just the way the Buffalo Bills approach the running back position. Like, they're it's like the dynasty equivalent of zero RB. And I just, like, I don't, it makes it so hard to care about any of them. And even when they do get a guy like Nyheim Hines, who seems like a really good fit, it's like, okay, so are you really going to just completely bail on Devin Singletary and James Cook and, you know, and I mean, designed runs for Josh Allen, like all of that stuff goes away and it just gets consolidated by Nyheim Hines. I don't buy that. I don't think that they could ever convince me of that.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with John. It's just like, yeah, in Buffalo, running backs don't matter, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, like you said, they keep trying to seemingly bring in this pass-catching guy when they don't throw to the running backs that often. I do think it kind of shows that James Cook as a first rounder in rookie drafts was kind of ridiculous. And
always shock me, was. Shock me.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I said it in one of the chats I'm in somewhere today that, I mean, even without this, I always thought Cook's upside was basically, ironically, a Nyheim Hines like career anyway. So, and that's not a guy I want to be drafted in the first round, but. I don't think it helps Hines that much. I think it's a good real-life football move for the Bills. I think Hines is a really solid NFL player. I don't think it does anything for fans. I don't even know that it takes that much away from Singletary, because he's not been that great. And I think, if anything, obviously Hines probably projects to usurp more of the cook role, for whatever it was, than Singletary. So, yeah, it's just whatever. None of these running backs really mattered. I have Singletary on a few teams. I had a little hope for him because of what happened towards the end of last year, and I never really believed in Cook, and he hasn't really. He's had one or maybe two big fantasy games, but I think that'll still happen. He'll pop up here and there when he gets a touchdown, and occasionally gets a couple passes when Hines isn't. But none of these guys, I don't think it hurts anyone that much or helps anyone that much.
You'll never know when to start any of these guys.
Yeah. Which sucks because from weeks 3 through 6, his Devin Singletary's targets, 11, 5, 2, 5. Like, he was getting work out of the backfield, and he was doing rather efficiently on the ground. But yeah, he's never going to get that many. He had 3 out of 7 games, only 3 games, he had double digit rushes.
Yeah. They wanted Cook to cut into his workload, but they just couldn't justify it. So, I mean, now Hines, you know, kind of takes over Cook's role plus, like, you know, whatever they wanted to move from Singletary to Cook. So it just really just muddies the water more than it already was.
Yeah. All right. We could move on from those guys and talk about even. Wow. So the last two guys to talk about are Jeff Wilson to the Dolphins and Chase Edmonds to the Broncos. I guess Broncos fan, does this do anything for you?
Yeah, this is the best running back on healthy running back on roster for the Broncos all of a sudden. So, you know, Mike McDaniel. Singular.
Just one McDaniel. Yeah.
Yes, just one McDaniel.
Just one little Mike McDaniel. He gets the running back room that he wants. You know, he's basically effectively brought over everybody that he had in San Francisco. So, the Broncos get a much needed upgrade at running back with Chase Edmonds. I mean, they just had a bunch of the same guy, you know, with Latavius Murray and Melvin Gordon. I mean, those are power backs, you know, built for a zone blocking scheme that you just don't really have. And you need somebody who catches the ball out of the backfield. You need somebody who, you know, makes people miss, you know, beats linebackers to the corner. And they just didn't have that. So since Javonte went down, essentially. So, yeah, this is a pretty big upgrade for Denver, actually.
I liked it. I'm glad you said that because I kind of got a little excited about it because I always liked the idea of Chase Edmonds. And when he was healthy, he did well in Arizona. He just didn't score touchdowns for some reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then James Conner did so well, there was no point in trying to put Chase Edmonds back out there. And then Miami just didn't want to use him. Like, I don't know why they bothered acquiring him when they just did not even try to put him out there. Yeah. So when I saw him go to Denver, I'm like, oh, wait a second. Javonte's not playing right now. He might get play, and that excites me a little bit. Like, I'm ready for it. Yeah. Is it going to be great? Probably not. Like, Jeff Wilson, like, I'm glad what had very little value even before McCaffrey went over there has very little value again on a different team. But yeah, like I'm not going to go out and try and acquire Chase Edmonds anywhere, but I do have a couple of shares and I'm a little happy for them. But
they just got a little boost, a little bump.
Bit. Makes you feel a little better about it.
Yeah.
Any strong feelings, Rock?
No, like you said, maybe if you can sell Chase Edmonds for a late second off of this, I'd be doing that. I just think I agree with John. He's probably the best back there, but I, you know, what are we talking about with, you know, Denver's offense this year? So does that mean much there? It's not like he's a stud, and it's not like they've been scoring a ton of touchdowns. So
he gets to say this from his 7-0 ivory tower.
You look like ants from up where
you know, but so I think that it's the move would be to try and sell Edmonds and I guess Jeff Wilson, he probably will be relevant again at some point now, because we know Raheem Mostert can't last an entire season. So at some point, Jeff Wilson's going to pop up and be scoring 3 touchdowns for Miami at some point, I'm guessing. So, you know, if you can get Jeff Wilson for a third, I might be interested in doing that still. Not that I care that much about Jeff Wilson, but I have a feeling he could matter later in the year. He could be one of those guys that, like, you know, Mostert goes down. What do they have? It's like him and Gaskin at this point, Ahmed. So, I mean, it's not like,
I forgot about that guy.
It's not like there's much to compete with him if Mostert were to get hurt. So, and that's a pretty, that is a pretty good offense themselves with, you know, Tyreek and Waddle and Tua playing well. So, I think he could be a sneaky kind of very cheap buy that nobody's going to care about at this point, that I feel like is probably going to be relevant at some point later this year.
All right. So normally when a trade goes through the Trade Addicts Leagues while we're recording, I usually try and save it for next week just in case it's a slow week next week. But we've talked about 2 out of 3 of these players already, so we're just going to do it now. Right now in TA7, we just got an email that Aaron Jones and Kadarius Toney got traded for Najee Harris. On one hand, man, Najee's value. On the other hand, this is a competing team trading away Najee Harris to go acquire Aaron Jones. Like, that's what this trade just was.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
It's so
as they should,
right? like, do you guys think that this is a good trade for Najee based on what his value is right now? Like, if you're a competing team, you have Najee Harris, you're upset about it. No, you know, without shock, but would you pretty much just trade him away for Aaron Jones and the crossed fingers that Kadarius Toney does something in Kansas City?
I'd like to try and get maybe a pick instead of Toney, but yeah, I was just pulling up the score, Trade Addicts scoring. Najee is, his season high is 13.9 points. That's high. Not his average, it's high. So I totally get this on a competing team. Aaron Jones is the RB9 in Trade Addicts scoring. And he's definitely up and down, but he's been more up than down recently. So I get it. I would probably rather have a different piece than Toney. And it's not like, you know, Najee's in his second year, but we've, you know, it's been talked about. He's not necessarily young either. I think he's like a 24-year-old, 25-year-old second-year running back.
Well, he came into the league at 24.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so he's 25 now. Yeah. So, and it's not like he had a small workload even in college. So, you know, who knows, you know, how much mileage he has left anyway, even though he's only in his second year. You know, he's a guy that might kind of, you know, flame out faster than you'd expect. So, and he's been relatively healthy too, which is a little surprising given the workload he's had even going back to college. So yeah, I would have no problem doing this if I was a contender. I'd much rather have Aaron Jones, and if I can get Jones, get better points. And like I said, a young, you know, Tony's a young guy, so some kind of young plus. I'd prefer it be a pick or a different player than Toney, but yeah, I would definitely take the Jones side in that.
Yeah, all right, well, I probably would, but I'm curious what the other team is doing. If, like, is this a contender or rebuild or somewhere in between?
Somewhere in between. We'll call it a retooling, the one that took on Najee Harris from this trade. Okay. Let's see, what is their record right now? I know they are bottom half of the league. Oh, yeah, they're 2-6, but yeah, they have a decent amount of points for, but they are far away from being, like, it's one of those cross your fingers, make it to the playoffs, and then anything can happen once you make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right. You know, one of those things. So, yeah, it's kind of like just, you know, moving on.
It
feels so weird. Like, that's really what this comes down to. It's not like, I'm glad I don't have Najee Harris on any of my teams. I'm glad I had one share and I got rid of him before the season started, because I don't know how I would handle this, because I agree with what both of you have said, that this is probably the worst we'll see Najee at. Like, you know, like John said before, getting rid of Claypool will hey, Peter, vacated targets for Najee Harris. You know, it's going to change the offense. It's going to open it up a little bit. If they're smarter, they start moving. They'll, like, go back to the Ben Roethlisberger offense. Snap throw. Like, you know, give him less than 2 seconds holding onto the ball and let him get rid of it, in which case that gives Najee the ball and he'll stop Pickett from dying. And plus, that man just needs to stop, you know, rushing head first. But yeah, I think this is what you do. I think this might be the right move. Again, maybe I'd like someone different than Tony, even if it's like the same value, just picker player. In this exact situation, I would want someone who was scoring points, like Adam Thielen, if he were not hurt and they didn't just go out and acquire TJ Hawkinson, you know, like that kind of thing. Well, we're doing Trade Addicts trades, so let's just keep going with them. Trade Addicts leagues, 12 team Superflex, PPR, tight end, PPR. I don't think I said that right. Tight end premium with 1.75. I can't say anything right now. I'm in my head.
Words.
So many of them in a row. Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end per tight end reception. I almost did it with 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1, because streaking, man, TA1 still has some trades. First trade we have is, this one confused me, George Kittle for Pat Freiermuth and a third. Mostly because the guy acquiring George Kittle had recently said he was blowing his team up. So I don't understand the logic behind the trade, but and while I'm pretty out on Kittle in general, honestly, more out after getting McCaffrey, even though better offense is better for the people on offense, Freiermuth in the third still just doesn't feel good. Yeah. What are you thinking about this, John?
When we talk about Travis Kelce, I was going to really kind of get into this, but I have such a hard time caring about tight ends. Like, it's so hard to even create the illusion of the advantage that so many people think they're getting with certain tight ends. It's to a point where they're just so interchangeable to me that I will take whichever side comes with a plus. I mean, you know, you're on one hand, you're getting less of a known quantity with Pat Freiermuth, but you are getting some youth. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a give and take. And I mean, there's not very much that differentiates any of the tight ends beyond Kelce and Andrews.
Just FYI, in Trade Addict scoring, points per game, there is a 0.95 difference between the two this year.
I pulled up Freiermuth's stats. There are 2 games in which he got less than 5 targets, and those are the only 2 games he scored less than double digits.
Yep.
Fantasy points wise. Again, this is with the 0.75 premium, so it might be different from your leagues, but I mean, his past 4, like, he missed week 6 against the Bucks, but from week 4, well, screw it, let's just do his whole season. 16.25, 15.2, 7.6, 20.75, 4.7, missed a game, 21.5, 12.7. Like, okay, the 4.7 also was against the Bills. You can't really shame anyone for having a bad game against the Bills. So he kind of does feel like someone you feel safe playing every week, which honestly is a good thing at tight end, because there aren't 12 of those. So yeah, I get going after Muth, but I still think if I'm sending Kittle away, I want more than a third in there. But I'm
kind of a giant. I think you're getting similar points here and you're buying back a bunch of years. And Freiermuth is putting up similar points in probably a worse situation with worse quarterback. And not that Jimmy's amazing, but worse quarterback, worse line. They both have, I guess, a decent amount of weapons around them. But yeah, I think you can expect possible. I mean, this is still only Freiermuth's second year. We could expect improvement going forward. Tight ends really don't usually hit their stride until the third or fourth year. So, yeah, I think I would definitely, like, like John said, just decide with the plus. In this case, I think it seems weird because we think of Kittle as a stud tight end, but in reality, I think they're closer than our minds want to believe they are.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I don't, you know, without knowing how these negotiations went down, it seems like you should probably be able to get a bigger plus for Kittle. But I mean, if someone was negotiating with me and kind of dug in their heels at Freiermuth in a third, I mean, I would ultimately do it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because like, I just thought in my head, I'm like, I mean, maybe if it was a second, I would honestly feel fine. Yeah. Really, am I going to let the difference between a second and a third stop me from making the trade? Probably not. Okay, yeah. Right. No, that's fine. Oh, but you know what else is fine?
Sleeper, trade of the week. Sleeper, trade of the week. We're going to talk about a trade addicts trade, and it's sponsored by the Sleeper app.
That will never not make me happy. So happy. All right. Well, this trade, again, like I said before, any trade from now on that has Rocky's first trade, 2023 first traded in Trade Addicts 1 will be the sleeper trade of the week. And I did acquire it a few weeks ago. And yeah, I just traded it away. I went on a Chris Olave offer spree because I wanted Chris Olave on a lot of my teams. And I took him in the DLF mock that we're doing right now for ADP. So, man, Chris Olave season, second round in a 1QB, by the way. I was completely happy taking him by the sixth pick, so the 207,
I think.
Seven, something like that. Yeah. Numbers are hard. So the trade we did here was Devonta Smith and the 112, yeah, I'm saying it, for Chris Olave. John, Devonta Smith and the 112 or Chris Olave?
I'm taking Devonta Smith, man. A big part of it is the pick itself, just the fact that, at least, you know, smack dab in the middle of the non-point scoring season, I think that you're going to get a projected starter with any first-round pick in this class. It's just such a deep class. So, you know, I kind of think that basically you would need Olave to basically double the scoring of Devonta Smith to make up for the fact that you just kind of created a hole in your lineup. So, of course, all this is, you know, predicated on the idea that you don't make another trade, which we know isn't the case. But, you know, if this were to play out that way, I kind of think that you gave up a little too much for Olave.
What this really does is stops me from drafting Devonta Smith over Jalen Waddle every single time and drafting Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. That's what this does.
Yeah. That's true. Mitigate risk.
There you go, baby.
Yeah, I'm with John. I think Devonta Smith is underrated in part because of AJ Brown, what he's done this year. In part, maybe even just because of that bagel he threw up the first week of the season, I think stuck in some people's minds. I was just looking again at the scoring. I took out week one. From week two on, he is 0.3 points behind Olave, and I know Olave's a rookie, but Smith's only a second-year guy with a number one on his team and is still scoring 15.5 points a game.
With Devonta's, a quarterback who can't throw, by the way.
Exactly, with a totally inaccurate quarterback. So, I just think Devonta Smith is very good in his own right. And like John said, that 112 is, we've talked about it before on the podcast too. That 112 is going to be like a lot of these 112, 201s, 202s, I think in recent years, where you were getting a T Higgins or a Michael Pittman or somebody like that.
I moved my picture. Yeah. I got my T Higgins behind me now.
That 112, I think, is going to be a very good player in this draft. So I get you wanting to get Olave, but I think you gave up a little too much.
Not as much as he really wanted me to. You know, this is the offer I sent, honestly. I sent Smith and the 112, and I love when this happens. They didn't reject the trade, but they sent another offer.
I've done that move plenty of times.
Usually, because I don't want to forget the offer they sent me. So if it's more than a one for one, I'm like, all right, hold on. Let me just keep that up on the trade screen so I remember what they're doing. But then I'll reject it right after. But even I do this sometimes. I'm like, let me just see. All right, let me just
I'm not saying there. No, but.
Yeah. You know, and he said something where I'm like, look, man, like, I like the offer I sent you. I think it's in your favor. I just want Olave on my team. He's like, yeah, okay, yeah, fine. You know, and accepted it. But so, yeah, he tried. And, yeah, no harm in that. But, yes, again, I overpaid a bit to get a guy I believe in. Andy Dalton's the quarterback right now.
True.
And there's no one else besides Kamara to catch the ball. Like, remember that week one and two where they had the healthy Landry and Michael Thomas and how great that was? Like, I think that would be good for Olave to have someone else on the field that can catch. Like, because he was still getting the same amount of targets, but like, they'd probably be better targets if there was someone else to have to defend. So I believe in Olave. I was always a fan of him, and I just, yeah, I'm good with it.
I agree with that too, by the way. But and you've often said that about Smith too. But that's kind of where I think Olave is, that he's going to be a solid wide receiver too in fantasy and in real life. I think he's best if he has some. I don't see him being like an alpha on a team, like a, you know, not that anyone's Jamar Chase, but like that he's going to be the guy commanding like 140 targets or something like that. So. I think I would prefer him as the second best option on a team, and probably he can still be a wide receiver too in that role, kind of like Devontae Smith.
See, if this offense gets better, and I'm not equating the two players, I can see him being like a Jalen Waddle on the team with Tyreek Hill. Yeah. Because when was the last time they had a tight end that did anything? You know, when was the, you know, once Kamara's gone, there is no other Kamara like that.
Yeah.
That's not something you easily replace. Like, and Michael Thomas is going to age out pretty quickly. So I really think that if they stick with their passing game, which they seem like it doesn't matter what their team is, they're going to stick with their passing game. Bring in another stud wide receiver. You have those two guys to throw to, and that's all that really matters. So each of them will both get 20-something%. Mm-hmm. And I think Olave could do a lot of that. A lot with that is better wording. But I also agree, Devonta Smith, I've been a fan of him. You know, like I said, I drafted a lot of him over Jalen Waddle, and I agree with you. But I also think the offense is gonna slow down at some point. They're just doing so freaking well that I think maybe we go back to those first few weeks where it was AJ Brown or Devonta Smith that does real well. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for good football, and I'm all for Jalen Hurts going crazy. So please keep it going for as long as possible. But I don't think this is a forever thing. So I think Devonta slows down a little bit as well.
I don't even know about that, though, because one thing about this offense, too, though, is they have not needed to score in the second half. Like, and we've talked about their that might have been before the show, but we were talking about their schedule and how easy it is. So maybe that doesn't happen the rest of this year, but. But there's probably going to be some games where they need to throw to stay in it. And that has not really been the case through the 7-0. Like,
well, their quarterback is so bad at throwing that, you know, it's not going to go well for them anyway.
Yeah, there's a stat that's been thrown around here in Philadelphia that they have not trailed in the second half of a game this year. So they have not needed to throw, and they have not scored a lot of points in the second half. So if that changes somewhat over the second half of the NFL season, maybe we see both doing well more often than not.
I mean, I still have plenty of Devonta Smith and AJ Brown, so I'm fine with it. And that's your trade of the week, brought to you by Sleeper Fantasy, the fastest growing fantasy football platform in the world. Join a new dynasty league or migrate yours to their platform and enjoy how easy they make it to manage all leagues in one place. Join millions of players today on Sleeper, the number one fantasy football platform. Download the app today to get started. Next, we move on to Trade Addicts 4, where it was a thing I teased earlier before. Jamar Chase, Bailey Zappi, and a 24 second for Justin Jefferson. This was a competing team who had Jamar Chase. Didn't want to miss out on those games with Jamar Chase out there. Offered me Chase for Jefferson straight up, because I have Justin Jefferson on a really, really, really bad team. That's a lie. I think Rocky's is worse. I think he's the 101 and I'm the 102 right now. So take out one of those reallys and then put that onto Rocky's team. And I'm like, look, I get it. They should be even, but you need him. So I'm asking for more. And I told him this. I'm just like, you know, yeah. And I, of course, I sent him something ridiculous, trying to get a 24 first out of him or something dumb like that. And he's like, come on, man. I'm like, all right, fine. And he sends me this. And I'm like, that's like a 24 second. And I would have done it. And he added Bailey Zappi because I have Mac Jones on my team. So I'm like, all right, that's, yeah, okay. I was going to take it. And whatever you added, I was probably just going to say yes. So thank you for it being a second.
That context is actually really, really helpful because this trade was going to upset me otherwise. I was like, I was over here getting very, very worked up. I was just like, this isn't supposed to happen anymore. Like the whole thing about, you know, everybody runs to Twitter and says, oh, buy low on this player. If everybody's saying it, it's not actually a buy window.
Yep.
We aren't supposed to have a buy low window with Ja'Marr Chase. We're supposed to know better by now that doesn't actually happen. And so, yeah, I mean, to me in Dynasty, those two, they really should be pretty equal. But I mean, if that's it turns into a pretty mutually beneficial trade. It's not a huge, you know, value discrepancy. So, yeah, I'm fine with it based on the way the negotiations went. But if that was just, you know, somebody just sent that offer for Justin Jefferson, I was going to be like, this is the, I thought we were past this stuff. I thought we evolved.
Yeah. I should have been more vigilant on that one just to see who has Chase and be like, ha, 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 you want this guy? But yeah, he just sent it to me and I just had fun with it because it was freaking Steve, who is like my fantasy arch nemesis because he keeps beating me in finals. So take that, Steve. I got the best of you on this one, even though it was your offer and I accepted it. Yeah. Any strong feelings, Rock?
No, yeah. I mean, with these two, any plus, I get Ja'Marr Chase might be out for a month, but. And especially, like you said, it makes sense with the where the two teams are at. But, yeah, even with that, I mean, I wouldn't – if I had Jefferson and I'm competing, I wouldn't trade him for Chase without a significant plus just because I want the points. Yeah. But in general, with those two, it's just if you can get any plus on either side, they're basically, like, identical to me. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I'm with you on that, too, by the way. You know, 1A, 1B, and I don't care which is which. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's move on to Trade Addict 6, where I was probably kind of a little stupid. I traded away Lamar Jackson for Kirk Cousins, DJ Moore, and a 23 second. And the reason I was stupid was because I was bored. So I started sending offers to everyone for Lamar Jackson. And I sent one to Rocky, which I liked a lot more than this one.
I know. And I was going, I was probably going to accept it. You should have just sent one to me.
Yeah. And then I sent
I was actually going to trade like, for a quarterback.
I don't dislike this at all. It did make me happy. Literally, like, I was happy that I actually offered Rocky a trade to pay up for a quarterback that he was considering. It was still a moral victory, even though I didn't get the trade I liked more.
Do you remember what the trade was? I can't remember what it was now, but I was...
You were trying to get rid of Josh Jacobs on your bad team, right? So I wanted Tua and Jacobs, and I don't remember what the... There was more to the trade.
There was a third piece, I think.
I don't remember what it is, but that's what it was. And I think I sent one to you, John, for Lawrence and ETN. But
yeah, that's right.
I think it was gone by the time before you even saw it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you send an offer to Shane Manila. Either he accepts, rejects it right away, or he just lets it expire.
I wouldn't have done it, and it kind of makes me okay with this trade. I'm really kind of done with Lamar Jackson. Like, he's so inconsistent, and I'm just tired of trying it's not even that we're trying to figure out when can we start him. I mean, we rubber stamped the guy because of the games that he had in weeks 2 and 3.
I mean, you have and then, to start Lamar Jackson, right?
Yeah. And then he barely gets you to double digits, you know, for like 4 straight weeks. It's like, and this isn't a new development. It has nothing to do with Rashad Bateman. It has nothing to do with Mark Andrews. This is what Lamar Jackson has been throughout his entire career. So, you know, there was the MVP year where he was, you know, more consistent, but for the most part, about half the time you get a high end QB1 and half the time you get a low end QB2, you know, maybe even a QB3. That's just kind of what he does.
I mean, versus the Browns 2 weeks ago, he only threw 16 passes.
Yeah.
I legitimately don't even remember that game anymore. Like, my brain has moved on. I don't even remember that at all. But yeah, that's rough because he only put up 11.9 points. And honestly, besides the fact that TA6 is a different beast with what J. Mike has done to that league, I'm trying to my best to sort of retool my team without having my firsts because I can't rebuild. And I ended up with Lamar Jackson, and I've been trying every once in a while to break him down into a couple of pieces. Mm-hmm. I do think DJ Moore is going to be for real now. Maybe not catching 60-yard touchdowns every single week, but I think he will be better. Or if anything else, he's still only 25. Again, been in the league for 16 years, but he's only 25. So I think he has the ability to at least keep a value of that late first-ish.
Touchdowns 2 weeks in a row. Who knew PJ Walker would unlock him?
Right? There we go. We were waiting for the good quarterback, and here it is. I did this trade. I saw it go through, and I'm like, all right, that's fine. Kirk Cousins is good. You know, he's like the poster boy quarterback of this podcast at this point. So he's scoring, and like my goal is to score points again because I don't have my first. And what happened this week, John? John beat me by 3 points, exactly.
I won that game?
Yeah, you beat me by 3 points.
I'm trying so hard to tank in that league. And, so
that's what you get for starting Travis Etienne and Deonta Foreman. Trade me Deonta Foreman. How about that?
I'll trade Deonta Foreman. I mean, I missed the episode. I don't know if you guys talked about the trade where I sent Josh Jacobs to Rocky for Malik Willis. But which everybody hated that trade, but I'm just like, Josh Jacobs on my roster is the antithesis of what I'm trying to freaking do. He's going to score way too many points. He's going to make this draft pick higher than I want it to be. I want Bijan Robinson. I want options for quarterbacks. And Josh Jacobs is going to play me right out of that. So yeah, apparently now we're there with Deonta Foreman too.
And he's scoring me too many points too, and I can't move him yet. So clearly
he's not enough to get me TJ Hawkinson, so I don't even know what to do anymore. All right, let's move on to Trade Addicts 8, where Kane Fasel just he texts me, he's like, trade with me. Okay. So I sent him Dalvin Cook for Chris Godwin and a 23 third. I'm not sure he checked it before he accepted it. Like, that's how quickly it got accepted. And I'm like, you should probably check them first. He's like, we're supposed to do that? And I'm like, now that you think about it, it just sounds like a waste of time. So Dalvin Cook for Chris Godwin in a third. I will just say now, I traded away Dalvin Cook for Chris Godwin because I am losing my confidence in my TA8 team. So I figured, give me the wide receiver over the running back because dynasty value, and he still score points.
And I'm pretty much with you there. I'm still pretty high on Godwin. What is he, 26 now?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's still got quite a few good years left. Dalvin Cook probably does not, and I don't have their numbers in front of me. But I mean, Dalvin hasn't been killing it this year. He's had some good games, but I would bet by the end of the year, anyway, I bet their points per game aren't going to be crazy off from each other anyway. So I'll take the plus, even if it's a third, and the guy I'm probably getting more years out of.
Yeah, I mean, Godwin's not really honestly doing all that great. This one, the Buccaneers offense isn't doing all that great this year. But ever since coming back from injury, like, we're writing off week one because he didn't even play the whole week. But he came back week four. So week four through eight, he's averaging around 13, 14 points a game, which is probably his floor. Like, I feel like that's like a Chris Godwin floor. When next year you'll be lucky to get a second for Dalvin Cook, you know, like,
and Cook's averaging 16 a game.
Yeah. And
so it's not that crazy different.
Yeah. Especially when you put the dynasty value on top of it. And that's really all it was. Like, I figured I'd get close enough in points, but it would gain me in dynasty value. And that's really what I was looking for. Because again, I like a lot of the pieces on that team in TAA, but I don't think it's good enough. So I figured, let me try and gain some value. Yeah. Any strong feelings, John?
No, it's pretty much dead even to me. And especially, you know, when you consider what the two teams are trying to do, one contend and one tank, you know, or rebuild, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's, it just makes sense for both sides. So makes even better.
Cool. TA9. So we actually had someone bow out of the league, which, by the way, I mean, PSA here. If you want to leave a league, don't worry about doing it now. Like, your commissioner will most likely appreciate you not screwing up a team or you phoning it in. Like, the way this happened with me, I got a DM and it was just like, look, I'm planning on leaving at the end of the season. I can play the rest if you want me to, but if you can find a replacement, that's cool. You know, just let me know. And I mean, it's a trade addicts league. I was able to, you know, it's pretty easy to replace someone in a trade addicts league. So that's what happened. And in the world of Twitter, it is so easy to find replacements for leagues even now. So again, if you're thinking about leaving a league, talk to the commissioner. Of course, don't be a jerk about it. Just do what this guy did. Just say, look, I'm leaving after the season. If you want to replace me now, that is absolutely fine. Clearly, I paid and it's going to, you know, I'm not asking for my money back because you shouldn't. And that would be a jerk move if you did. And then I'm sure they'll be able to replace you. I'm sure, like, if anything, even if they do say, hey, just, you know, stick around until I can find someone. There's nothing bad about that. Unless it's like your brother running the league and then he gets mad at you. That's a family thing. You have to deal with that on your own. But since that happened, the guy came in and the trade was Patrick Mahomes and 2 24 seconds for Kyler Murray and DeAndre Swift. Now, Superflex dude, what do you think of this one?
Man, I mean, I think that's probably about the right price for Mahomes. I love DeAndre Swift, though, and especially now with Hawkinson gone, I won't say Joel vacated.
Williams season, baby.
There you go. I won't say vacated targets because we know that Peter Howard has effectively made that a bad word, but I do think that there's even more opportunity for DeAndre Swift in the passing game without TJ Hawkinson there. So more quality targets, if nothing else. The dirty little secret about Superflex is we're not really looking for quarterback upgrades necessarily. Mahomes and Josh Allen are consistent every single week. Like there is some value in that, but for the most part, we just need warm bodies because they all score so similarly every single week. They all have the same basic floor. They all have the same upside. So, you know, as much as I would rather have Mahomes and Kyler Murray, I'm just not willing to do it at that price. I think it's fair, but I wouldn't.
How many points per game you think is different right now between Mahomes and Kyler?
I looked.
Cheater!
It's probably kind of a lot at the moment. Kyler started off pretty slow.
Five. I mean, it's a little over five points.
Yeah. Like, and that's Swift is easily going to make that up every single week for you.
You can stay on the field.
Well, yeah.
But like, honestly, it's funny. It's like you said, like, if you want to go and move up to acquire Mahomes, this is probably what you have to do.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest, I love getting the 2 seconds back. Like, that makes it so much better for me. I don't care that they're 24. Getting 2 seconds back would make me feel so much better about, you know, trading away all of those points. And like, I like the idea of Swift, but I've been off of him fantasy wise for a while just because he hasn't been on the field long enough to do it. I know when he is on the field, he usually has the points per game. You know, he's George Kittle of running backs. When he's on the field, he's giving you those points per game where he should be a one at his position, but I don't know he's on there long enough for me to care enough. So if I can trade Kyler, a guy who is frustrating me, and Swift, a guy who is frustrating me, to go get Patrick Mahomes and 2 seconds, I think I do that. But also, like you said, I think the value is absolutely, like, I think this is a great trade. Yeah. Like, value-wise, I think this is pretty perfect, but I think I want Mahomes in this case.
Yeah, I agree more with John. I would, not surprisingly, I would shake the trade down at quarterback to pick up the stud running back. And I get that he's got on the field issues, but staying on the field issues, I should say. But I also agree with John, too, that I think with Hawk gone, that could be even arrow up more for DeAndre Swift. And if he he's already missed his 3 or 4 games. So if he can stay mostly healthy the rest of the year, then we could see like even more than we've gotten this season when he's been on the field. So I just love DeAndre Swift so much as a talent that and Kyler is close enough for me. Kyler's higher than higher level than most of the quarterbacks I have on a lot of my teams. So I would take Kyler in the stud running back, even with the seconds thrown into Mahomes.
All right, let's move on to Trade Addicts 10.
Also, Russ, by the way, you're a sinner for this trade offer I just got from you.
I know. How bad is it?
It's Donta Foreman. I'd be giving up Donta Foreman for the last pick in the second round in 2024.
So. No. It's not J Mike. It's J Mike's Reckoning.
Oh, that helps. The second to last.
Yeah. Yes.
11, Jesse Reeves. That's a little bit better. He's on a mission. I don't know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is what happens.
He's when the only one willing to try and take on J Mike pretty much.
But it's so tough because there is value in me trading away Donta Foreman right now.
And it is a second. You don't know what's going to happen by next year, the end of next year.
Yeah. I hate waiting on future draft picks. So I don't know.
All right. Well,
that makes you a sinner though. Cause you kind of force my hand there. Like I pretty much have to make that trade. Right.
I mean, you're also getting pretty peer pressured into it right now.
That's true.
But let's talk about a Donta Foreman trade because we do have one and it also was involving me and this is clearly a different league. Donta Foreman and a late second for an early second. Now this is the late second is from the team that is currently in first place the record is 6-2 and there's another 6-2 team, except they have the most points for by 133. So a lot, like a full week, lead they have. So this is going to be a very late second. The second going, the one we called an early second, is an 0-18. And there is no 1-17, by the way. So, they're two wins stuck in last place. So this is probably looking like Donta Foreman and the 212 for the 201. Seeing as how you can't really get a second for Donta Foreman, and I've been trying like heck in TA1, even after the 2 straight weeks of balling out, the best offers I got were someone offered me Brian Robinson and someone offered me Rashad White. Is that a player? Or was it Tamir White? I don't remember anymore.
Rashad White, probably.
Yeah,
Rashad White's the better White.
No, wait, it was the Raiders.
Oh, well, that's Zamir White.
Zamir White, yeah. Like, regardless, I don't want a running back on my rebuilding team. That's all it comes down to. So I just rejected both of them. And I offered them both 4 seconds, and they both got rejected very quickly. So I was the one acquiring Foreman in this one. So I liked the idea of this. Like, if you can, by all means, maybe not as easily as this one, where it was like clearly the team that's in first and clearly the team that's in last, and swap those with Foreman on there. I like the idea of this. Like, hey, move back a couple of spaces and I'll give you a running back you'll be able to use for the rest of the season.
I would just like to point out I have a better odd play record than the team that's clearly in first. I just had to get that out there.
Yeah. Less points, though.
Only like 25, but.
I mean, I like this because this is the way that you get second round value out of Donta Foreman without actually getting a second.
Holy
because
crap, you're 4-4.
I know, it's ridiculous. That's
why I didn't even look that far down.
Do you guys do all play in that one?
No, but you can look at what the all play record is in the power rankings.
So. Oh, got it. Okay.
Oh, dang. I've had 7 all play in this league. Yours is better.
Yeah, I think you're second in all play. You actually have a better all play record than that guy too. But
yeah, but it's just better. He also has like 3 firsts still. So I mean,
yeah, that's true.
All right, but let's go back to the actual talk itself. Moving all the way up in a round at the expense of a 1 year running back play.
Yeah.
I think that's like, the perfect way to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, kind of the way to think about it is like, what pick would you have to add to 212 to move up to 201? And it's probably an earlier second. It's probably around like 204 and 212. Maybe that gets you to 201. So, I mean, you're essentially getting 204 value for Donta Foreman if you use that dirty math. So, which is, I think, better than what you're going to get anywhere else.
Yeah, because you're, again, straight up for a pick. I've tried every single team that wants to score points, and I couldn't even get what probably would be the 211 because I haven't tried for Rocky's second because I don't know where it is. Because obviously be the 212.
Obviously, yes. But yeah, I think we talked about it last week on the pod, and I said no way I would give up a second for him. But I would consider this. Like, I think that's the perfect way to try and get the most value out of him is to move up in the second if you can pull that off.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our last trade is a big boy trade, and why this guy's team is also now better than everyone else's. I guess I should have read this one first because this was the first move of Deonta Foreman, how then I got him. So this first place, I mean, it's Pewin, the jerk that made me create this league in the first place. Actually, that was Bosch's fault, but you know. He's been begging for a TA league for like 3 years now. So 223 firsts that were in the middle. You know, we're not really sure how they're going to end because there's a big chunk in the middle. Like Rocky's team is great, but a 4-4. So not really sure. So two random 23 firsts. Deonta Foreman, a 23 fourth and fifth for Josh Jacobs. Sam Ehlinger, a 24 first and a 23 second and third. Like, I didn't even bother. Like, I saw the trade, and I'm like, okay, two firsts for Jacobs and a 24 first. Okay. Like, that's kind of what my brain did, because there was so much going on.
Yeah.
Like, Jacobs is doing what he's doing. Do you really see getting hit? Like, do you really see getting a 23 first for him right now?
Not.
The answer should be really. Yes.
Yeah, you should.
You should, but like I haven't been able to.
Yeah. Exactly.
In TA6.
So that's why I didn't think adding on those other picks was a big deal. Like a 24 first, yeah, it sucks to give up. But again, this guy was able to then turn Deonta Foreman pretty much into an early second. And giving up seconds and thirds, whatever, to go get 23 firsts, I would easily include 23 seconds and thirds if the result was me getting a first out of it in 23.
Yeah.
So like I'm almost writing off most of this trade as two firsts for Jacobs. A starting quarterback, even though I don't want to ever start that guy, and a 24 first. So I kind of like this trade. I think it's good for both of them. I hate how good it is for Pewin because it makes his team better and he still has draft capital.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. I like this trade. I think it works well for both of them.
Yeah,
I agree. It's fair. I think it's kind of what you were saying. I think I would take the 23 first side just because I do think they're, you know, still so valuable. And Jacobs in a 24 first for 223 first, I still think I'd rather have 223 first. And then maybe I can, you know, I can buy something that has longer term value and scoring points with one of those 23 or both of those 23 first than Jacobs. So,
I mean, I get it. They didn't take his fifth year option. He's still only 24.
Like true.
He's been in the league 2019, 20, 21, and now it's 22. So he's in the league 4 years, and he's the age of when Najee Harris came into the league.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to disappear. Maybe that's a bad thing
because he has the NFL wear and tear on his body, but like it's not like he ever really had a workhorse role or anything. So like, let him move somewhere else and be the 1A in a committee, and I'll be completely fine with that.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to disappear. It's just a matter of, if he's going to get the volume that he gets with the Raiders, if he does go somewhere else and doesn't.
Maybe he'll actually catch a pass if he goes somewhere else.
That's true.
Because what the heck, man?
Above all else, if it feels like we need to jump up on the soapbox and talk to the contenders in these dynasty leagues. If Josh Jacobs isn't, like, if you're not willing to give up your late first for Josh Jacobs right now, like, this is the year to just go for it, to go all in. A percentage of your league just took themselves out of contention before the season even started. And more of them are peeling out right now. This is it's getting easier and easier. You're getting more teams out of the way. It's getting easier to go get a championship. I know that this 2023 first round is going to be good, but you know what's better? A fantasy freaking championship. Josh Jacobs gets you there. If you can get him for, you know, 111, 112, you do it.
It makes it tougher, though, when the team is stacked and has three of the 23 firsts in the league. J. Mike. TA6. Bro, I'm trying to sell Josh Jacobs, damn it. He's like, I don't need no stinking Josh Jacobs. Look at my team.
That league is so tough. That's why I made the trade in the first place. I could not get a freaking quarterback for anything. And I was like, Malik Willis for Josh Jacobs. I know that that value is way, way off, but this is the only way I can get a quarterback.
All right. That is the end of the trades. We have listener questions, and man, we have three questions. One of them is like 10 words, and the other two are like 10 paragraphs. Let's get into it. At V. Jake Earl, who are some waiver wire targets from the trade deadline fallout? Is there any?
There's not a lot. Deion Jackson.
Kyren Williams. I know it has nothing much to do with the actual trading, but like, this is going to be his backfield when he comes in healthy.
Yeah.
Like, Cam Akers is not a thing anymore. Darrell Henderson isn't their guy anymore. So I really do think Kyren Williams is going to come back in. I don't think he's on waiver wires at this point. He's probably still on the back of someone's roster. But if you can have him as a throw-in in a trade, I would absolutely go after him. But yeah, Deion Jackson really is like the best one to think of.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Like it's not a trade deadline move, but you know, Christian McCaffrey 2 weeks ago, basically, the Chuba Hubbard kind of comes out of that. I know I should be continuing to pump up the value of Donta Foreman when I'm trying to sell him here, but you know, the most likely scenario, like that workload probably is too much for a power back who invites contact, you know?
Yeah, they absolutely will split because they are very different backs.
And at some point Chuba Hubbard probably has that backfield to himself for at least a couple weeks.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm super distracted. I have a friend who's an artist and he made a Harry Potter shirt and I don't think he put Hufflepuff on the entire shirt, and I have to go yell at him after this.
what the hell is he thinking?
Right? The disrespect is just... Ugh. At Noob Engineer, I need help from people that are smarter than me. Man, he put the wrong show.
Where are they coming from?
Hold on, let me get Zach on the phone real quick. I have a team I was lucky enough to win last year, but it's falling apart this year. I have Kelsey. What should teams do with Kelsey that aren't in a great position to win? I know he is older, but should I still hold him? I do think I can turn it around in a year, but I also know every year his value will be lower. Would you hypothetically hold him if you are 2 years away? I hate the tight end position so much. I think we spent a lot of time, you know, regards how we feel about the tight end position at this point. But so, we were saying he's that dude. Honestly, hold on to him until if you have a deadline that moment or like right before the playoffs and be like, you want to win the league? This guy is going to win you the league. He is the lone positional advantage besides Josh Allen. Like those two are the positional advantages and that's really it. And I think you will be able to get a good price for him. And if you can't, there is no shame in holding that dude until next year if you think you can be decent. Like, I don't hate holding on to Travis Kelce because I get that you just... Words! It is late! Fantasy players reach an age where it is tough for their dynasty value to catch up to their fantasy value. But at tight end, it has to matter because there are so few good ones that he's like one of the very few players, even me being me, wouldn't just trade him away for the hell of it. Like, it needs to be worth it to have Travis Kelce leave my team. I am fine letting that man retire on my team, even if my team is bad.
Yeah.
You can go, John.
I wouldn't go quite that far personally. I hate tight ends. They're annoying. But part of it is, you know, we almost treat this, you know, when we talk about the positional advantage, quote unquote, that you get with Travis Kelce, we're kind of talking about it as if the game is my tight end versus your tight end. And the reality is I've got 9 or 10 other players, you know, in my line. It's my lineup versus your lineup. So if I don't have Travis Kelce, there are other ways for me to make that up. First of all, I'm in the exact same boat as everybody else in the league, except for whoever has Kelce and Andrews. I'm living the exact same life. But beyond that, even when I do run into those two, I can still make those points up at other positions. So the positional advantage is a little bit mythological, and it's not something that I'm willing to chase. So, I mean, I think that you've got to get full value for Kelce, but I would definitely be shopping him pretty aggressively.
What would it take?
Man, like, I mean, so what I like to do is kind of is bunch him and Andrews in with the wide receivers, essentially, and just call it the pass catcher positions. And, you know, kind of think about the guys who score this, you know, relative to Kelce, and, you know, include any premiums, and it's going to make it a little tougher. But there are plenty of guys who score in the same neighborhood as Kelce on a weekly basis. And, you know, I think that you should be able to get any one of those guys. I mean, AJ Brown is always the guy that immediately comes to mind, but, you know, that's the type of guy that I would equate to Travis Kelce.
I mean, I think you guys have pretty much said it. I would be very much trying not to hold him through next year or into next year. At some point, there's going to be a time where he drops off, and I don't want to be left holding the bag when he does. So if I'm not contending, I mean, I'm not selling him for a second or something, but yeah. Even if I had to take maybe even give a little bit of a discount, I might do that, just a slight discount. But I agree with you, Russ. I think you hold him until either the deadline or right around the playoffs. And I think you'll get what you want for him. You'll get like a 23 first and maybe a little something on top or something like that. Especially if the 23 first is coming from the playoff team that's trading you for him. That's there first. So I would do everything I can not to hold him into next year if I'm not contending, but I definitely think that he's someone to move and do it right when you said. You pretty much nailed it.
Good job. All right, our last question. At Bueno Fantasy, wanted to talk about the 21 QB draft class. All anyone could do before and after draft was gush over this class, but 1.5 years in and none looks close to being a top QB, let alone a top fantasy QB. He put in parentheses Fields, maybe.
Yes.
And now I'm hearing similar love for Stroud, Young, etc., and the hype will start anew. Regarding 21 class, what are we doing with this group, and what lessons did that pre-draft hype give us that we can use once Stroud et al., wow, fancy, et al., hype overtakes Dynasty come January? I do just want to interject a little bit. I don't think there was really any hype about Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. Like, they were drafted in the first round of rookie drafts because they were drafted in the first round of the NFL. Like, I don't think there was real hype about those guys, but I mean, the hype for
Fields, some like Zach Lance, Wilson. There are people that had him over one of those other three.
Well, that's wrong.
agreed.
Lance, Lawrence, I mean, Lawrence, clearly there was the hype, but I'm writing off last year. I will fight and die on that hill of Trevor Lawrence's rookie year, if anything, was a detriment to his career as opposed to anything to be held against him in general. Like, like last year, Jaguar should be erased from everyone's memory, including everyone on that team, especially everyone on that team. Like, that, that's how bad that was. But I mean, Superflex, dude, talk about it. Like, how do you feel about the 21 class now? And I mean, I'll just throw it out there. We can't hold it against Lance either for getting hurt. But right. Like, how do you feel about it? And do you think it's a lesson you take forward with you going into this class where we may have another four or five QBs in the first round of, well, both NFL and rookie drafts?
I mean, I think the real lesson, and we probably should have learned it in, what was it, 2017, 2018, with, you know, 18, another, yeah. Yeah, another pretty heavy class of quarterbacks, starting with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, you know. I think that the lesson that we should have learned then and carried into 2021 was to temper the expectations a little bit as far as, you know, what are we looking for out of these quarterbacks? The idea that we're going to get Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen or Justin Herbert.
Pat Mahomes a year and a half into,
yeah, like, and
halfway. Yeah, just not the first
year. And Josh Allen took even longer to develop. So, you know, for a while there, it looked like he was a bust.
It was really smart. And he was, what, the last one of them drafted in the NFL draft, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But like I said earlier, like, you know, the dirty secret being that we're really just kind of looking for guys with job security. We're looking for warm bodies at quarterback. We don't need elite scoring because, you know, at the end of the day, these guys, like, it's a marginal difference between, you know, the top guys and the lower tier guys. In terms of both,
John and I agree more than people think.
Yeah. Yeah. We just use it differently.
But yeah.
Look, we try and sell the fight, you guys. Stop agreeing.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and this is why QBX for me, because I don't believe that there's a silver bullet out there. Even if you had Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen, you know, Rocky knows all too well, this is a strategy that he employs. He feels like he can find quarterbacks in the middle rounds who can compete with that combination. And it's absolutely true. We know this for a fact. So the reason for quarterback extreme is just more bites at the apple, essentially, you know, more options in a given week, because what really moves the needle at quarterback is matchups. So, you know, we don't need elite level talent. We just need guys who are going to earn a job and earn some job security. And I think that we got that. I still think we got everything we needed from 2021. I think that I even Josh Allen and to for some reason Mac Jones, they seem to have a little bit of job security going forward as well. So, you know, I think that's the big thing is, you know, just don't let your eyes get too big when you're looking for quarterbacks in a rookie draft.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what I think John made a really good point there. And the job security thing is big. I think the only one I think I'd be concerned about at all at this point in terms of job security is Zach Wilson of those five.
He's so bad.
He's so bad. Which I have been saying since day one. I would just like to reiterate.
We get it, Rocky. You're good at the 112. We
no, I've gotten many things wrong, but Zach Wilson I got right. So I gotta keep harping on it. But yeah, I mean, these guys too are, and I still. I'm not totally there on Lawrence, but he's a QB1 on the season. Fields is, as I mentioned earlier, QB6 since they started letting him throw the ball. So these guys are already starting to come around in year two. Mac Jones is what Mac Jones is. We never thought he was going to be a stud. Even guys who liked him, I liked him a little bit. I had him as my QB4 after those big three. And I thought he could be solid, and I still think he can kind of maybe inch his way up to more top 15 where he's not really been yet. But yeah, and I think he's going to have job security for a while as well, despite Bailey Zappi. and Lance, I mean, Lance, the only question mark is the injury. So, I mean, we haven't gotten to see him yet. But I think the job security, you invest three first-round picks in a guy, he's getting at least the rest of that rookie contract. And unless he plays like Zach Wilson, he's probably going to get a second contract. So he's probably going to perform pretty well just based on what he's going to be able to do with his legs alone. So kind of like what we're seeing from a Fields. I mean, he's – at least from a fantasy perspective especially, Fields is performing well. And we're seeing Fields perform better with his arm too in his second year. So I think John made a really good point, just that, you know, you got to give these guys a little time. And the job security is going to be there for any guys coming out. And that is a big important thing. We've talked about it before when John and I have talked quarterbacks is I do like to try and get him in rookie drafts for that very reason that especially a lot of times we see those later guys hit like the Herberts and the Allens and things like that. And even if they don't, you still got a guy for the next 3 or 4 years. So yeah, I think that's kind of an important lesson to take from it. Yes.
All right. Well, the QB duelists dropped their weapons and had a nice hug in the middle. And I have nothing to add to that because that went so well. But that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. So before we head out, John, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
I'm as Superflex Dude, and I roster quarterbacks pretty much exclusively. That's what I do. I piss Rocky off with that. That's what I do. But I also host.
You do Super it well. Flex. You do it well.
Yes, I still don't recommend five, but yes, yeah, I know what John likes to do.
Yeah, exactly. I host the Superflex Super Show. I do a bunch of different things for DynastyLeagueFootball.com. And I now roster Malik Willis in Trade Addict 6, thanks to Rocky.
And you're about to get Deonta Foreman off your team.
Most likely. Yeah.
All right. Our stuff, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch us record and see. I mean, it was multiple times this show I was dancing. So if you want to see what a fool I look like when I do that, or you can watch Rocky not pay attention because what was it called again? The world?
Some weird shape. They have some weird shape.
Billy's baby up 2-1, by the way. They won 7-0 tonight. So
nice.
Cool. What does that mean? I don't know. So, yes, you can watch us record, jump in the chat if you want to. We also have the awesome GroupMe chat, the Cool Kids Club, which, I mean, it is what it sounds like. It's just a bunch of cool people in there. ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. So many t-shirts, mugs, stickers from all of your favorite podcasts, including the Superflex Super Show and everyone else on the DAP network. And all the lovely stuff. Again, if you were a patron, three out of the four shirts hanging behind John, you can get on FF Podshirts. Also, every single penny that comes in goes straight to Fantasy Cares. Every single penny we get gets donated. So you get some awesome stuff. Some kids get some awesome stuff for the holidays and everybody wins. And on that note, I win because I get to go to bed. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants, Daddy's the best. See ya.